Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports bylaw studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Coming to you on WBC TV, my name is Pedro Fernandez. I am often imitated but never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? I'm an award-winning writer. I've been doing this show a while, and I won 4 Golden Glove titles. And supposedly, allegedly, I know something about boxing. But guess what? I've always found out the average fan has a different insight. So I'll let you be part of the show if you'd like to. Open the phone lines up. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. That's the listener line. The text line, if you want to text us here in the studio, that number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. That's the studio text line. Well, Terrence Crawford, still unbeaten. Omaha, Nebraska, they've got to be proud, folks. There's no doubt about it. The guy that won the title at 135, 140, and now 147 defended the WBO welterweight title last night with a 10th round TKO over former two-time title holder. I'm talking about Sean Porter. Porter was game. He came to fight. He won some rounds. He was in the fight. But at the end of the night, Terrence Crawford, a 7-1 favorite, prevailed. You are listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 2 hours, the Sunday edition. Of course, we'll try to bring in some time with the Godfather Larry Merchant in about 15, 20 minutes if we can. We hope to spend some time with Eddie Croft in hour number two. And if we get our way, we're going across the pond for Kenny Rain for an hour number two as well. So bottom line is we got all kinds of stuff for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Stay tuned.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Check it. 12 minutes past the hour. This is hour number one of two, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Twitch.tv. The Twitch thing is dead. Now, listen, I'm going to go off on a rant here. I promise I won't because the network will probably, like, fine me, suspend me, something like that. But the Twitch thing is a spit thing. And when every time I say spit on the air, put an H there. Okay, so Twitch is spit. Put it to you just like that. The audio doesn't work half the time. You have to refire it up twice, three times during the show. What I'm trying to say is it's not worth the hassle. Thank God, thank goodness, we're doing something with Veeve TV and, of course, WBC TV. This show should be live on WBC TV, the WBC TV channel, within 48 hours. You are delayed, I mean, on the WBC channel within 48 hours. Of course, they are combined with Veeve TV. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, I'm talking about Terrence Crawford, Bud Crawford, call him what you want. And the reason why they call him Bud is that he isn't that friendly. Get that? Anyway, bottom line is Terrence Bud Crawford, now 38 and zip, 29 KOs. 10th round TKO winner over Sean Porter. Sean came to fight. Some people had Sean ahead early. The CBS people that were scoring it round by round. Of course, those objective folks at CBS that know everything about boxing. Yeah. Anyway, they had Sean Porter up for a while there. And, of course, Terrence Crawford would close the show and end things with two knockdowns in the 10th round. It was a dramatic ending. Really? No, not really. It wasn't. Come on. He was a 7-1 favorite. And I'll get Larry Merchant on here at about 22 minutes past the hour, and we'll talk about this. But a 7-1 favorite. Man, I've never been a 7-1. I tell you back, I was a better than 7-1 favorite when I went down into the valley and fought those farm worker guys. I beat up a lot of farm workers. Okay, I didn't even do it. Put it this way, we would go down to the valley, and sometimes we would fight twice in a night, and then come home. I mean, that would be it. Go down there, come back and fight. And there was never any real stress involved because of the fact that, you know, you were young, and you felt good, and you were full of your own vigor and this and that, and you were in condition the whole nine yards. Plus, you knew for the most part, that these guys were soft. Most of the guys I was fighting down there were soft, but that's how I learned how to fight. That's how I learned how to place punches and things like that, fighting lesser than quality opponents, just put it to you like that. But anyway, Sean Porter, now 31-4, a draw on 17 KOs. Not a big puncher, okay? As I said, a 7-1 underdog. He wasn't supposed to win. He didn't win. The fact that it was competitive, well, that's Sean Porter. I mean, Sean Porter is a competitive guy. He's not going to roll over for anybody. I mean, but at the end of the day, it was it went the way it should have went. We'll hear from Crawford in segment in our next segment of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. But straight up, do I give him great grades? Good grades? Yeah, I do. Without a doubt. I mean, you have to give him good grades. There's no doubt about it. He drew 11,000 people last night, 11,568 people paid at the Mandalay Bay. More power to him. I haven't seen people drawing like that in Las Vegas, especially. How can I put this? You know, Bob Arum, his promoter, I'm talking about Terrence Crawford, is a former promoter, a current promoter, an ex-promoter, or I don't know what it is. They got some type of estranged relationship. Anyway, the bottom line is, you know, Arum says that he couldn't make any money promoting Terrence Crawford. All he was doing was giving Crawford $1 million, and he wasn't making any money. So they converted the show to pay-per-view, and allegedly last night, Crawford made $6 million, and Porter made $4 million, of which afterwards, Porter retired. More power to him. And as far as his father stopping the fight, he said he stopped the fight because my son wasn't in condition or something like that. No, your son was getting bounced. That's why you stopped the fight. The excuse that you used in order to stop the fight in the post-fight press conference just showed you out to be some insecure father that has to be part of the show. You had to be part of the show. Like Devin Haney's father has to be part of the show. Like Floyd Mayweather's father had to be part of the show. Fathers have to be part of the show. I'm not saying all fathers are bad in boxing, but for the most part, they are. I mean, I go through a list of fighters, and I've told you about Rico Velasquez and this and that. I told Johnny. Anyway, when fathers are in the corners, things tend to happen that shouldn't happen. And why do I say that? It's because there's no median. There's no stopgap when it comes to a father. Either a father's like emotionally involved and he stops the fight too soon, or he's emotionally involved and he lets it go too long. My son be brave. My son is brave. Like Rico Velasquez, he died in 1988 down in San Jose, California. I begged his father before the round in which he died. I believe he died in the 10th round against David Gonzalez at the San Jose Civic Auditorium. I begged his father to stop the fight. I went to the corner. You can see me on the film telling the father, stop the fight, stop the fight. The father wasn't hearing none of that spit with an H. You know what I'm talking about, okay? You know what he said to the kid? Show me some balls in Spanish. He told the kid, show me some balls. He had been knocked down 7 times, 5 times officially. He had a broken nose going into the fight. I mean, what more handicaps could Rico Velasquez have? Except for the fact that he had an inept referee, an inept corner, and an inept doctor. The doctor had these polio type of crutches, and he couldn't make his way up into the ring when the kid died. In fact, when the kid was dying, and I was the one that screamed for the oxygen because he was turning blue. In other words, there was no medical care there. I was taking care of it. It was appalling. Anyway, I went to the referee. I went to the corner first. I went to the father. I said, please stop the fight. Please stop the fight. He's going to get killed. I mean, it was obvious. The Grim Reaper was in the room. I'm an ex-cop. I know what death is. I could feel it. I knew he was there. Okay? I knew he was there. So when I couldn't get to the corner and the doctor wasn't doing anything, the doctor was like, reading the newspaper, you know, like a wrestling referee or something like that. So I went to the referee, who was Hank Henry Alesbrew, who was named the chief officials for the state of California after this kid died. So anyway, I said to him, Hank, quote, please stop the fight. He's going to get killed, Hank. Stop the fight. Stop the fight. Hank gets a towel. He had a little towel in the corner there on the corner, the turnbuckle. Takes a little towel, wipes the sweat off his brow, and said, son, go sit down and let me do my job. And Rico Velasquez was dead 45 seconds later. He was probably dead already at that point from a brain bleed. But 45 seconds later, he was like done in the middle of the ring. And I told you, I mentioned this a second ago. There was no medical care there. None. The doctor had polio or some type of muscular dystrophy, and he was wearing those aluminum canes, and he couldn't get up in the ring. So I was the first one to get up in the ring, and I'm looking at the kid, and he's turning blue. I mean, he's turning blue in front of me. So I said, I mean, I did some EMT when I was a cop. I mean, you have to, okay, as a policeman, you just have to. So I said, give me some oxygen. I get the oxygen here. They got the oxygen in the ring. They put the oxygen on the kid, and things didn't turn any better. Of course, we went to the hospital with him. I think Jack Fisk was with me that night. Of course, the Hall of Fame boxing writer, born Jacob Finkelstein in 1917. But he went with me, and, you know, he had chided me because when I told the referee to stop the fight, and when I told the coroner to stop the fight, when I sat back down, Jack Fisk told me, you don't do that. You don't do that. You don't tell a referee what to do. You don't go tell a corner what to do. I said, you don't know spit about boxing. And I said, spit with an H, okay? You don't know spit about boxing, Jack. He's about to die. And then what happened? He died. So what did Jack Fisk say at the hospital about 2 hours later? I'll never tell you to shut up again. I'll never tell you to be quiet again. Ever. And he never did. But the bottom line is, that was one of the scariest moments I've ever witnessed in my entire life as a fight fan, as a person. I mean, because, you know, when you're a policeman and people die, they're dying because they got shot or they got in a car accident, or maybe it's, you know, maybe it's natural causes. You know, people die, okay? I mean, you get accustomed to that. But when somebody is dying unnecessarily in front of you because they took part in an athletic contest in which inept officials took part, I got a problem with that. And Hank Illescrew, he's dead now, but he should have been sanctioned. Instead, the California State Athletic Commission under Ken Gray at that point in time, and Ken Gray was a drunk. Let me tell you about Ken Gray. I went to Ken Gray to complain about Hank Illescrew drinking at a fight after the Rico Velasquez fight. I was in Sacramento, California at a title fight, and I could smell booze on Hank Illescrew's breath. So I went to Ken Gray, the head of the Athletic Commission. I said to him, your referee, I can smell alcoholic beverage on his breath. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, I'm a former policeman. You know that. I go, yeah. Well, let me run the elements down to you of somebody being under the influence of alcohol. You have the aroma of an alcoholic beverage on their breath. You have slurred speech. You have reddened eyes. You have heightened temperament at some point in time. Different attitude, the whole 9 yards. Attitude change. That's Hank Illescrew right now. So Ken says to me, have you got anything else to say? And no. And guess what? Before I left Ken, you know what I realized? He smelled like a drunk, too, because he was a drunk, too. They were both drunks. Drunks running the California State Athletic Commission. Until Richard DeCour took over, that's just the way it was. But may he rest in peace, Rico Velasquez. And his father, what a piece of work. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV, live on Veev TV. As we come back with the guitar of the great Jeff Tamalier and Tower of Power, of course, before I go to the retired HBO Godfather, last night, of course, undefeated still, 38-0, Terrence Bud Crawford, a winner.
The champion, Terrence Bud Crawford, celebrating with everybody from Omaha who came here to see something special. How would you evaluate what you did tonight against a very competitive and tough Sean Porter?
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to thank God for blessing me with this victory. Because without him, none of this would be possible. You know, shout out to everybody from Omaha that came to see your boy throw down. I appreciate each and every one of y'all. I love y'all to death for following me each and every arena that we rock. We're going to keep rocking them out. But Sean Porter, you know, like I said before, I'm going to say it again. I can't say nothing bad about him. You know what I mean? Like, he been in there with everybody. He did what he could. I just was the better man today.
It was a hard fight. It wasn't easy because no Sean Porter fight's ever easy for the opponent. When did you figure him out?
Round one. I figured that I had to reach. He had to take chances to get in. You know, I was a little stronger than him. And he was just trying to, you know, do what he normally do, maul, and, you know, push me back. But I used my angles and, you know, I pushed him back at times as well.
Was he everything you expected? Was there anything different?
No. Sean Porter is a good fighter. You know, he was doing some little slick things in there. Made me think it was match for a point of time in there.
Did you know there in that 10th round, once you dropped him the first time, that the fight was coming to an end soon?
You said what?
Did you know that after you dropped him that 10th round, the fight would be coming to an end soon?
Yeah, for sure. Sure. I knew I caught him with a good uppercut. And then when I caught him with another left hook, I seen in his face that he was real hard. And, you know, his dad did the right thing by stopping him because I was coming with vengeance.
Errol Spence was right there watching this fight. As soon as the stoppage happened, he walked out. What was your message to Errol Spence tonight?
He was at my fight?
Yeah.
Now, that boy said he wasn't going to never. He don't never be at my fights, but now he at my fights. Well, you see what I did, you know, compared to what he did. So
that's what happened. As soon as the stoppage happened, that's what happened with Errol.
Hey, listen. My thing is, who number one in the welterweight division now? Okay. I love it. Who are you talking to?
All right, now the future. The future, Terrence, because the most important thing is you make the decisions on what happens next in your career. What do you want next? Who do you want next?
Well, y'all already know who I want. I've been calling them out all day. You know what I mean? Maybe I'll go up to 154. Maybe if Spence get his tail out his butt, he'll fight me. You know what I mean? Whatever. You know what I mean? I'll wear whatever.
It wasn't about sending a message to Spence, you said, but in the end, you stopped him when he couldn't. What does that mean about you?
It's just styles make fights, you know. I look at all of us. We all great. You know what I mean? We all talented. We all got different styles. You know, he won. I won. So I just look at it like, you know what I mean? No matter how the income go, at the end of the fight go, as long as you get the victory, that's all that matters at the end of the day.
What'd you say to one another?
Huh?
What did you say to one another?
Oh, I love him. You know what I mean? Sean Porter is a real good friend of mine. You know, I told him, you know what I mean? I really didn't want to fight him. You know what I mean? We always said we was going to fight each other. You know what I mean? When the time is right. And I guess the time was right for this fight to happen. You know, I was looking to fight other champions in the division. And, you know, since I couldn't get that, I had to go to the next best thing.
Thank you for your time. Joe, back to you.
Of course, Terrence Crawford, Omaha, Nebraska, 38 and zip. We go from Omaha and San Francisco to Santa Monica and the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant. Larry, what kind of grade did Terrence Crawford get from you last night?
Well, I think he gets an A. He fought a stronger, more awkward opponent who has lost split decisions to all the other top welterweights, and those were his only losses. And he patiently took them apart and deposited them on the floor. You know, we had these three fights in the last month and a half or so with Tyson Fury winning in the 11th and Canelo winning in the 11th. And Porter got him in the 10th. All good fights. All sellouts.
That's what I wanted to bring up. They're all sellouts. They sold 13,000 tickets last night. And I was dogging Crawford on last week's show, and you corrected me about him not being able to sell some tickets. Well, guess what? 13,000 tickets last night. Sean Porter didn't sell them all.
Well, I guess there's a hunger to see elite fighters. The elite fighters are starting to fight more often, and he proved himself last night. And you just gotta give him the highest marks and the most credit.
Okay, but he's got the numbers. He doesn't have the names. He doesn't have these Canasota names on his resume yet.
You are correct.
Okay,
you are correct. He hasn't. I don't know it's because whether he's demanding too much to fight them or whether they don't want to fight him, but he built himself up from junior welterweight to a welterweight who could knock out a strong contender.
Yeah, we're talking about Terrence Bud Crawford, of course, 38 and zip, a 10th round TKO winner last night over Sean Porter. Sean Porter's father basically threw in the towel, and then Sean Porter's father said something after the fight that he stopped the fight because the son wasn't in condition. You know, Larry, I've been involved or I've been around this game a little bit, and I'm not in favor of fathers being in the corners at all making decisions. What about you? Do you think, because I don't think there's a median with those guys. Either they go too far or they don't go far enough. And do you see my point there?
I see your point. But in hindsight, I disagree with it. I thought he made the right move. Porter took some hard punches, and if he got up, he was going to go down again.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not talking about last night. I'm just talking about in general. Sean Porter's put up an admirable performance last night. It was gutty. It was gritty. He announced his retirement afterwards. And if he made $4 million, according to the reports, he made $4 million, more power to him, because that means probably he could put $2 million, he can maybe walk away with an actual $2 million check out of $4 million bucks. So if that's the case and he walks away from boxing, more power to the young man.
I agree.
I mean, because the bottom line is you got to make money. I remember one time Mike Jones told me, who was handling Jerry Cooney, said to me, he goes, Alex Stewart's made more money than, and he ran off like all these different heavyweight champions. I'm saying, guys, like, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, he goes, he made money. He goes, we weren't worried about belts. We were worried about making money. Alex Stewart made money. Now, what is Crawford doing in the future? Is Crawford and Spence ever going to hold hands together or what?
I think that Crawford Spence will now be made. He proved himself in and out of the ring in this fight. I thought basically that there was a possibility of an upset in that fight. He came up in weight, and his opponent had comes down in weight.
Yep.
And is a tough hombre. So I'm glad he had the opportunity and the stage to show what he is, and I don't think there are many doubters now.
December 11th, Vasyl Lomachenko, the twice beaten fighter, of course, lost that fight early on to Orlando Salido in an over-the-weight mug match, and of course lost to the lightweight championship, Teofimo Lopez, going to come back against Richard Comey. All I can say is I feel sorry for Richard Comey.
Okay.
I wouldn't want that guy seeking revenge on me.
Look, the Russian Lomachenko is an outstanding athlete. Been working out since he was 4 years old or something. And I take nothing away from him except his record doesn't warrant the credits he gets. I'm sorry. You got to go out there and fight more often, beat everybody up, and then you say this guy is the greatest fighter since cavemen. But he is a superior athlete, but I never bought the whole Lomachenko thing because I don't think he had fought enough fighters who could fight back.
Good point. Now, Godfather, what's on your agenda this week? You and the Godmama, you guys going out, doing anything special?
Well, I hear that Thanksgiving is coming up.
I heard that, too.
And we're going over to our daughter's house, and there'll be 20 or people or so.
Everybody's vaccinated, right?
Yep, you have to be vaccinated.
I love you, Larry. Kiss the Godmama for me. We'll talk real soon.
Keep the faith.
The great Larry Mercer, Mr. Hall of Famer on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Speaking of the WBC TV, WBC, they just concluded, the World Boxing Council just concluded, I believe, their 59th annual Congress or convention down there in Mexico City. It was a success, without a doubt. Everybody had a good time, and guess what? I didn't get my passport. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. When I hold you in my arms, I know that I can't do no wrong. And when I hold you in my arms, my love won't do you no harm. And I feel no. The mighty Tower of Power bringing us to the back from the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 40 minutes past the hour. Of course, this is hour number one of two live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and WBC TV. Of course, coming to you on Veeve TV straight up. This is a new project the World Boxing Council has put together with their own World Boxing Council TV channel. Of course, we're excited to be part of it. Of course, Daniela and Mr. Jockerman running things over there at Veeve TV. They're rocking and rolling. The Suleiman family is into this 200%. What more can I say is that I'm elated and I'm excited to be involved with this project. No doubt about that. Now, last night, of course, take that back. Friday night, Demetrius Andrade. I've had him on the show before. The guy talks a good game. What did Canelo say to him? Hey, man, you got a belt, but who you fight? You know, that was Canelo's broken English. Bottom line is, he has a belt. He's had two belts. I believe the WBO 154-pound title and the WBO 160-pound title. He's had two belts, and they've both been, like, vacant titles. They've both been given to him. Now, I'm not trying to say he isn't a talented guy. He's 31 and zip, 19 KOs, but he isn't the most exciting fighter in the entire world. So they put him in the other night with a guy named Jason Quigley, El Animal. Okay. Anyway, he was 19-1, came in 19-1 with 14 KOs. It was a fight in which it was designed on paper to make Andrade maybe more exciting or better than he was. And the reason why I say that is he's a pedestrian type of boxer. He's a nit and pick type of guy. Tit, 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 tit. He's like a fly. He's annoying, this and that. He's not an exciting guy. He doesn't really bring it every time he comes. But he brought it the other night, of course. Quigley overmatched, no doubt about that. As I said, it was Friday night at in Manchester, New Hampshire. What can I say is, Andrade thinks he's the stuff, but you got to be more than thinking it. You got to, like, be the stuff. You know what I'm saying? And he's not really the stuff. He's got a couple of belts. He's undefeated, and he's 31 and zip. But outside of that, maybe he can, like, you know, go get lunch somewhere, but not a free lunch. Because he's not much. Straight up, Demetrius Andrade wants to make a move at 160. Went after Canelo at a previous press conference. Of course, Canelo dogged him to death. Just dogged him to death. And now we look at the fact that Andrade at 160, of course, has maybe plans on fighting Gennady Golovkin. Gennady Golovkin, of course, he once beaten in one draw. Of course, both those fights to the great Canelo Alvarez. And, of course, those fights went down a couple of years ago. But now Gennady Golovkin is going to venture off to Spain. I take that back, Japan, and take on Murata. And that's going to be some type of unification match at the WBA. Of course, the WBA, and they're all insanity, the world of Bunko and insanity. The world of Bunko and anarchy. Anyway, all their insanity, they've had Murata from Japan, the champ for like 2 years, hasn't fought in 2 years. There's no fight in 2 years. It's cool. You can go fight in 2 years. You can still be champion if you're with the World Boxing Association. I guess that's the way it goes. But the bottom line is the news this week, of course, is Canelo Alvarez taking on the cruiserweight champion of the UFC, of the WBC, gonna make him Mabuku, gonna have him come down to 190 pounds instead of 200 pounds. These catchweight fights, I think Socrates Palmer, Boxing's PhD, had an issue with that. And, you know, I guess he doesn't remember back to the days where Ray Leonard had special weight fights with Donnie Lalonde. He made Donnie Lalonde come down to 168 and 175. Of course, they fought for both belts. And if you're gonna fight a guy like that, if I'm gonna fight a guy that weighs in at 200 pounds, I'm probably going to want to have some type of advantage over him, other than the fact that I'm a better boxer than he is. I mean, he's a better boxer. Canelo's a better fighter than him, A to Z. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you wouldn't match Canelo against a guy with equal skills weighing 35 or 40 pounds more than him, because it would be definite, you know, destruction. There's no doubt about it. But here, I think he has the easiest market, 200 pounds, and as far as your cruiserweight title holder is concerned. And Canelo, while people tend to dog him because he's on top, he is a pound-for-pound king. I mean, he sells out fights like that. He definitely does the pay-per-view numbers. I mean, the Zone, pay-per-view, Showtime, whatever they want to go with him, he sells. He delivers. He sells out arenas almost instantly, okay? What can you say negatively about him? Not much. He's, except for the fact he doesn't speak that great English. I don't dog him for the fact he can't speak that great English. I dog him for the fact that he tries to correct people speaking English when he doesn't speak that great English. Like when, he called him, his last opponent called him a mother ducker. You know, without the D and the F and that kind of stuff. And he took it as if, you know, he was having sex with his mother. I mean, that's the way Canelo took it. I didn't have sex with my mother. No, nobody said you had sex with your mother. They called you a mother ducker. I mean, look at this. Anyway, bottom line is Canelo not mastering the English language as we speak right now. But I think he'll get better. And I think 2022, of course, he's going to have this fight with the cruiserweight champion, or the cruiserweight champion at 200 pounds at 190. It'll take place in May. It'll probably take place in Mexico, because I don't think this is going to be able to materialize here in the United States. I'm not sure that somebody's going to want to throw down a $10 million site fee for that. I'm not trying to say that he couldn't garner or sell out another arena. I'm just trying to say this, of all the fights that Canelo could have right now, this probably isn't the fight that I want to see him have. I don't. I mean, there's guys at 175 like Beterbiev and people like Artur Beterbiev, good fighters. I mean, solid fighters, no doubt about that. Okay. And of course, he's got Jermell Charlo, one of the Charlo brothers, 160-pound Charlo brother, the WBC champion, undefeated, but like Crawford, got the numbers, but he hasn't fought anybody yet. There's no Hall of Fame guys on his resume. And if you don't have Hall of Fame guys in your resume, how can you call yourself great? I'll ask Eddie Cross that a little bit later in the show, Eddie Cross in the house, but I'll ask him a little bit later in the show. How can you be a great fighter just by numbers? Do numbers alone make you a great fighter? I mean, because, you know, you can add up all the numbers, but if Terrence Crawford doesn't have anybody on his resume like a Roberto Duran or like a Sugar Ray Leonard or like maybe even a Wilfred Benitez, what is he really that great beating up lesser guys? You know, last night was a 7-1 fight. Sean Porter was a 7-1 underdog. I mean, everybody was astounded. Ooh, it's going to be a good fight. Ooh, it's going to be competitive. Not the oddsmakers didn't think it was going to be competitive. They thought it would be a 7-1 fight. Let me tell you, I'll put it to you like this. Muhammad Ali, take that back. Cassius Clay and Sonny Liston, that was a 5-1 fight back in 1964. So that was like the upset of the century. It was a 5-1 fight. Well, Crawford and those guys were Crawford was a 7-1 favorite last night. Anyway, speaking of Crawford, he has dissed his longtime promoter, Bob Arum, of course. Arum came on TV, came on this show. I had him on a clip about, I guess about a year ago, saying that, you know, he was losing money by paying Terrence Crawford $1 million a fight. Whoa, that's what he said. He came on, he said, I'm losing money promoting him. What are you trying to say? Black fighters can't sell tickets or something like that? Because last night he sold 13,000 tickets. I don't think Sean Porter has much of a fan base at all. So I'm trying to say that most of those people last night there were from Omaha, Nebraska, or like that lady from Sun World Airlines that tried to give me a free ticket to Omaha. But she goes, would you like to go to Omaha? I thought she was talking about Hawaii, okay? It was Sun World Airlines. I think they had me stuck like in Boise, Idaho or something like that. And go, would you like to go to Omaha? I said, is that in Hawaii? She goes, no, it's in Nebraska. I said, what do you mean Omaha? You mean Omaha? Anyway, that was Sun World Airlines. Bottom line is he is the star of Omaha, Nebraska. There's nothing else there but him. There's no doubt about it. Terrence Bud Crawford is the king of that town. And eventually he's got such a, I think he's a smart guy. I think he's, you know, intelligent. I think he's smart enough to grasp the political spectrum. And I'm predicting this right now that he's going to run for mayor of Omaha, Nebraska. And after he retires, I think that's in his future. I just think it's in his future. Speaking of in his future, current heavyweight champion Tyson Fury, of course, coming off that spectacular win. Of course, listen, he looked like a doughboy. He looked like a fat guy like Jim Lampley. Jim Lampley, the former voice of HBO boxing. Of course, he was the voice, and Larry Merchant was like the face anyway, and Harold Letterman. I'll take it back. Harold Letterman was the voice of HBO boxing, because when Harold came on, you knew exactly what he was talking about. But anyway, the quarterback of that broadcast, of course, was Jim Lampley. And Jim Lampley recently has been saying that, you know, Tyson Fury is nothing but a big fat slob. Whoa, I mean, that's pretty extreme coming from Lamps, of course, coming to us from the University of North Carolina, Tar Heels. He was a Tar Heel alumni. Now he's working there as a journalism teacher or something like that. But the bottom line is he was very negative on Mr. Tyson Fury. Listen, Tyson Fury won. I mean, he beat a guy that came to fight. I mean, Deontay Wilder came to fight. I'm not trying to say Deontay Wilder is the greatest thing since sliced bread. He's not. Obviously, he's a one-dimensional fighter. Of course, he has that one right hand. Outside of that one right hand, he probably couldn't reach an orgasm with the left hand, if you know what I mean. But the bottom line is, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And he came into the fight game a little bit late, 2004 Olympic bronze medalist. Of course, they called him the bronze bomber, like the brown bomber, so like that. No. He was going to be no Joe Louis. I mean, most of the guys he beat up in those 39 or 40 wins that he had were lesser than world class. And I'm being kind in saying that. It's just the way it is, okay? I mean, that's the way he built himself up. What did Mark Breland say? Of course, the esteemed trainer, the man that was fired by him, the 1984 Olympic gold medalist, probably the best amateur in the entire world, a man who I was in awe of. I remember in Colorado Springs, the Olympic training camp, looking at him in the ring saying, I can spar him! I can spar him! And then he stood next to me. And I said to myself, no, I couldn't spar him. Because he's just too, I mean, you should have seen his arms. His arms were like longer than his knees. You know, when he dropped his arms down, that's how long Mark Breland's arms were. Anyway, Mark Breland the esteemed trainer, of course, of Deontay Wilder at one point in time. Wilder went off on him and said that, you know, that Breland threw the fight. That Breland put, muscle relaxers, volumes. He put volumes in his drinking water. So there were volumes in the drinking water. Then he said, wait, the cage or the hat that he was carrying to the ring, it weighed too much and it made him tired. Then he had leg problems. Listen, the bottom line is Deontay Wilder doesn't know what was going on. The reason why is that he's never been a completely developed fighter. He's a one-punch guy. He comes with that. He's a one-trick pony. He has no other tricks. I mean, so if he can't go with the right hand, what can he do? I mean, you saw when he tried to change it last time. He got a new trainer, Malik Scott. Of course, Malik Scott. What is Malik Scott famous for? I think taking that Olympic dive against Deontay Wilder. Remember that over in Puerto Rico? They were going, that smells a little bit over there. Little odor to that one. Oh, smells like day-old cod. Sun-dried, baby. I'm telling you, that was, look at the film on YouTube, and you know what I'm saying, that was hokey. Anyway, Malik Scott comes into training for this fight, takes over from Mark Breland. Mark Breland should have sued Deontay Wilder for slander and liability and all that kind of bullshit. Because, you know, that's not something that, I mean, because there's what's up. If one person in the world thinks that, and they're going to think about employing Mark Breland in the future, if one person in the world heard what Deontay Wilder said and believes that, that's going to hurt Mark Breland. Okay, and I think it's going to hurt him a lot. I think it's going to hurt him whether he realizes it or not. I think that type of stuff, I think people don't forget. I think that Deontay Wilder had a big platform there. He said it many times afterward via social media. He said it on TV. I mean, the bottom line is he blamed everybody but himself for losing to Tyson Fury. The bottom line is he's 6'7". He's black and he's 6'7". He's never probably lost a street fight in his life. He couldn't have, I mean, I lose a couple of boxing matches, but I ain't losing those street fights because I'm 6'7", man. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's kicking my ass. I'm black and I'm 6'7". Nobody's beating me up. Except some white boy that's 6'10". See, because you never had to fight anybody that was bigger than you before. You never did. You never even thought about it, Deontay Wilder. It never even crossed into your spectrum. It just didn't. I mean, you could, because you were always the biggest guy. And if the guys were bigger than you, they were clumsy and lummoxes and they couldn't box and this kind of stuff. So you very rarely had anybody bigger than you that was more talented than you are. And I'm trying to say that Tyson Fury is the most talented fighter in the world, but he licked you like a stamp in every fight. I mean, the first fight, come on, they called that a draw? Mm-mm. The second fight, he lit you up. Put it this way. I think the only two rounds that Tyson Fury's lost to you were those two rounds in which he got knocked down. Outside of that, domestic violence. Tyson Fury should have arrested for domestic violence for what he did to Deontay Wilder. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide at WBC TV.
Things like this happen. The best man won tonight, but my trend, my coat, my side, threw in the towel. And, you know, I'm ready to go out on my shield, man. You know what I'm saying? I had a lot of things going on coming into this fight, but it is what it is. You know, my leg was already re-coming in due to other little things. But, you know, I make no excuses tonight. I just wish that my corner would have let me win out on my shit. I'm a warrior. You're fabulous, to say the
least. I love the way that you smile. Make my life seem worthwhile. Make me
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Thank y'all for tuning in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
The soul side of town, something new from the mighty Tower of Power. These guys have been around like for a long time, like since 1900. I kid you. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, bottom line is check them out at towerofpower.com. Emilio, you haven't been around since 1900, but pretty close. You and me both. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two, I will bring in, who can I say? This guy is like, I've always wanted to laud him in the studio because of the fact that I've always been appreciative of his boxing abilities, not only as a boxer, but as a trainer and as a father and as a community leader and things like that. And he's probably worthy of a lifetime achievement award, and he's not even 55 years old yet. So the bottom line is we'll spend some time with Primetime Eddie Croft. It's Primetime with Eddie Croft in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Now, the UFC. Somebody said to me, why aren't you covering the UFC much? I got a problem with that. It's like human exploitation, beyond like human exploitation. You know, pimps and hoes, we talked about this before because I'm an ex-cop and I know what pimps and hoes are. I know that pimps, when they put girls on the street, they got to give the girls some of the money. In other words, if a girl goes on the street, she talks to somebody for $100, she's going to get a decent amount of $100, right? Maybe half, right? Well, not if you're in the UFC, you're only going to get 8 to 10 cents, 8 to 10 bucks out of the 100. So 8%, 8 to 10% of the purse. What I'm trying to tell you is of all the money UFC makes, they only spend 8 to 10% on the talent. What does that tell you? These guys are in life and death battles all the time. This isn't a boxing match. We're not talking about an eight ounce boxing glove or a 10 ounce boxing glove. We're talking about a 4 ounce boxing glove with a 4 ounce glove with basically no padding whatsoever. Okay, and you're being hit when you're on the ground. In other words, when you're getting hit and you're standing up as a boxer, your head goes backwards. Boom, 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 right? But now when you're laying on the ground, somebody hits you, there's nowhere for your head to go. The punishment I think that is being affected in these mixed martial arts fights, I think they're going to come out in 5 to 10 years. Jake the Stitch Duran, of course, the famed cut man from Northern California originally, now living in Las Vegas, he's told me he's seen it in fighters already. He's seen both males and females being punchy because you can't get kicked in the head and like, I'm okay. No, you're not okay, man. That's just too much trauma. I think it's too much trauma. Now that I'm trying to say boxing is safe, I'm just trying to say at least in boxing, you hopefully have a trainer, you have a doctor, and you have a referee that's looking out for your own good. Because in the world of UFC, nobody cares about you. No way, no how. You're just a piece of meat. Human exploitation at its best. Thus, Dana White is the pimp of 2021. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Stay tuned for hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, I will bring in primetime Eddie Croft. I'm so proud to have him in the studio. Of course, a father. A great father, great trainer. He wraps it all. We'll put it together. Hour number two with Eddie Croft coming up on Sports Byline.